Well, breakwaters ease the impact of large waves during storms, and that reduces shoreline erosion and damage. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a project with a goal to protect Milwaukee's lakefront with our next guest. Aaron Zaleski is the environmental director, or environment director, I should say, at Milwaukee Harbor District. It's an organization with a goal to revive Milwaukee's waterfront. If you're a Milwaukee resident, maybe you could tell us how you think the waterfront could be improved. What would you like to see along the lake? How should it be protected? You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Aaron Zaleski, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Well, it's great to have you here. So we're talking about an eco-breakwater here. What's an eco-breakwater?
Yeah, the eco-breakwater, well, the big picture of this project and all the environmental work I do at the Harbor District is about thinking how we can incorporate the needs of fish, birds, wildlife, plants, all kinds of things in how we build our cities. So I like to think of that as multi-species urbanism, just a fancy way to say other things besides people. So this could be like Nomo May, which is picking up speed using native plants and landscaping. A lot of the things that you talk about all the time on your show. The eco breakwater is a little bit bigger than Nomo May. It's a concept that came out of some organizational sort of planning we were doing in around 2016 or 2017, thinking about what would an amazing revitalization of the harbor look like. And we had teams of designers and architects and ecologists come up with ideas. We had dozens of really cool ideas. And this one is, if you think about in Milwaukee's outer harbor, if there were sort of barrier islands that protected the port, that were habitat for migratory birds above the waterline, below the waterline, has structure and different types of stone and substrate that sort of rebuilds a food web, an aquatic food web for different kinds of fish, and also protects Milwaukee's harbor better. So on the outside of our harbor, you know, we have our wastewater treatment plant on Jones Island and the Port Milwaukee that has millions of dollars of commercial shipping activities. It's really important infrastructure. So the better we can protect that from strong storms, you know, that really benefits the community. So incorporating those ecological benefits with the resilience benefits to protect our harbor.
That is very cool. What is, give us some idea of sort of where it'd be located, but also the dimensions of it.
Yeah, it's located. So if you go out by Summerfest or Lakeshore State Park, you can see out in the distance the existing outer breakwaters that are owned by the Army Corps of Engineers, and those are made out of giant armor stones and concrete. There's like a concrete cap on top of most of it. And that's about 3 miles long, you know, from one end to the other. There's a couple of gaps for navigation. We're really looking at the southern half of that. That's about 1.75 miles long. And that's the part that's opposite kind of the Jones Island area down to about where the high speed ferry terminal is.
And so what would this eco break? I mean, how is it something 100 feet long or what is it? What would it look like?
Yeah, well, it would look like a linear sort of island structure that's behind the existing breakwater. So it kind of provides a second line of defense behind that concrete structure, probably about, you know, 30 to 50 or 70 feet wide. And really kind of we envision it running the length of this southern section of breakwater. So it's long and linear, tucked behind that breakwater. And really, Larry, we're in the beginning stages of this. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like or what it's going to be made of exactly. We just got a grant recently to do the first engineering for the project. So we'll do site assessments and surveys of the condition of the existing breakwater, which is operated by the Army Corps of Engineers and does need some maintenance and some repairs, which we'll try to wrap into this whole project. That's a part of that vision. We'll do those site assessments and do a lot of engineering. It's really technical, some computer modeling of the currents and the forces and storm events and those sorts of things to figure out what this thing could look like. What can we do? And then, of course, the fun process of working with the Wisconsin DNR, the Army Corps, the city, the port, all these different partners to say, like, what can we do that everybody's excited about? And so I applied for this grant about a year and a half ago and had these conversations with all these partners. I have a couple of drawings from this planning exercise that I took to them and said, this is what I'm thinking about. Are you on board with, you know, going after some funding to see what we could do here? And everybody was interested. Everybody was into it. So that first step is happening, and now we got to figure out what and get everybody on board.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, all right, so you've got the breakwater, and then maybe inside that Army Corps of Engineers, maybe what, a couple hundred yards away or whatever, there might be, then this would be where that eco breakwater would come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think about how those breakwaters work, is they're designed that waves overtop them. So a big wave crashes into it during a big storm, and some of that spray goes over the top. So we can't be too close because that'll erode our new island. So we need to be set back a little bit from them. But it'll be pretty close because there's a lot of shipping activity and a lot of boating out there that we also need to take into account.
Well, and that could even, and so it's, could it mitigate some of that as well? The boating, the ship activity or not?
Well, it'll have to get along with the commercial shipping, because we get big ships into the port of Milwaukee all the time. Some of them from, you know, across the oceans, some of them that just stay in the Great Lakes. We have a lot of commercial shipping of big, large ships.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic thing. And tell me again, the sort of the makeup. So I can envision something that would be stone, large boulders or something on the bottom.
Especially the outside. We'll have stones. This sort of builds on some research that Dr. John Jansen at the UWM Freshwater Sciences has done, studying harbors on the Lake Michigan coast of Wisconsin. Nobody really thought to look, and he's a fisheries biologist who goes scuba diving, seeing what's down there, seeing what the substrate is, doing surveys of what kind of fish are found. So he did some surveys of Milwaukee's harbor and the breakwaters about 10 years ago, and worked with the Army Corps on some of their maintenance to the other section of the breakwater to incorporate stones that had voids large enough for this invasive shrimp, the hemimysis, to reproduce down inside, which was creating this novel ecosystem that was feeding rock bass and largemouth bass, alewives, smelt. It was sort of rebuilding a food web that, you know, the Great Lakes ecosystems are in constant flux with invasive species, but this was kind of a bright spot that something was happening that was constructive with an invasive species. So that research will feed into this fish habitat work we're doing. Now, what the rest of it's made of is something we need to figure out. You know, we're kind of inspired by projects like Cat Island in Green Bay, which uses reused dredge material. So clean sand, when the Army Corps keeps navigational waters to a certain depth for shipping, they need to put that stuff somewhere. And if it's, as long as it's not contaminated with pollution, it can be used on beaches or other sorts of projects where we need material. So this could be a place where some of that clean stuff is deposited. There's also, I went to a project outside Toronto in Mississauga, Ontario, where they sort of built a nature preserve out into the lake with clean fill material. It was like a municipal kind of public works, I wouldn't call it a dump because that sounds dirty, but building a park out of the lake with with the spoils from road projects and things like that. This would be a little trickier because it's not connected to land, so we need to barge it out there. But that kind of is kind of the direction we want to go, is finding a creative way to get a lot of material, because it's pretty deep out there. It's 28, 30 feet deep in some places. So that's a lot of stuff to build an island.
You gotta start with some pretty big boulders, I think. We're going to get into that a little bit more with our guest today, Aaron Zaleski, Environment Director at the Milwaukee Harbor District. It's an organization with a goal to revive Milwaukee's waterfront. So we'll talk some more about the district, but also talk some more about this eco breakwater. And you'll be able to join in with your questions as well. In fact, you could do it right now if you'd like. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or if you'd just like to send us an email, you can do that to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with our guest, Aaron Zaleski. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.
Great music is good for everyone. Let WPR's live-hosted classical music lift your heart and soothe your soul. Tune in from 9 to 3 on weekdays. For our complete classical music schedule, including Wisconsin Classical and Classics by Request, visit WPR.org.
Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about plans to build an eco breakwater in Milwaukee in the harbor. Aaron Zaleski is with us for the rest of the show. He's the Environment Director at Milwaukee Harbor District. It's an organization with a goal to revive Milwaukee's waterfront. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Have you seen storms damage Milwaukee's shoreline? What responsibility do you think local governments have over protecting this environment? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Aaron, got an email from Dave in Milwaukee. He says he's excited for the new breakwater, but wonders why projects like this one take the amount of time they do, like years. He thinks it's important, and by the way, doesn't mean the question in a bad way.
I appreciate it. I wonder why it takes so long myself. but there's a lot of regulation on our coastlines and bodies of water with sometimes overlapping jurisdictions. The Wisconsin DNR has a lot of jurisdiction and their set of rules, and the Army Corps of Engineers, if anything, is a designated sort of shipping area, navigational channel. They have their own set of rules and their own review that can take a very long time on a different track. And sometimes one track will be approved, and the other track will have an issue, and you'll have to redo a design or address some concerns that then you need to start over on the other track too. And I will say, you know, projects like this breakwater, you don't see very often, because we're almost like Lakeshore State Park. What we're proposing is building a new island, and not just anybody is allowed to build a new island in Lake Michigan. Wisconsin has the public trust doctrine, which are a set of rules and laws about who can own that, what sort of purposes it can be used for, and that sort of thing. So that's a whole legal kind of question that we kind of know what the answers are too, but we need to work through, which just takes a long time. Some of that needs to be approved by legislatures and those sorts of things. So a lot of layers to work through.
And you're the guy doing it.
I'm the guy doing it at a a small nonprofit with five employees. But we're working with all these great partners. you know, I view kind of my job is to get this ball rolling, bring up cool ideas that get people excited. You know, this is one of a number of projects that I work on and we're doing as an organization. And so get that ball rolling, get people excited at these different organizations, and they can pick up the ball and help it along.
Another question relates to an earlier comment that you had. You mentioned that the research, or some of the research, came from UW-Milwaukee's Freshwater Sciences Department. What kinds of marine life might the breakwater help out?
Yeah, that's a great question. The fish that we kind of have in mind that are out there are largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, rock bass, lake trout, and the steelhead, which are about to start running pretty soon up the rivers. Yellow perch, alewives, and smelt, kind of basing that off of the research that John has done in the harbor of what's out there and the sort of substrates that they prefer and need to feed.
So you mentioned, and I do want to talk about this, but you do have some things to go, previous history at your, at least that may help you out, because I know the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation has funded, I think, 6 coastal projects in the Great Lakes area. And there's 88 coastal projects elsewhere. So at least there's some something for you to kind of go on in a way, perhaps. And
yeah.
Well, go ahead and comment on that.
Well, yeah. What you're referencing is this funding source we have this current grant from, which is from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, a program called the National Coastal Resilience Fund. And they finalized 1 year of grants this year, and there were 88 projects, but only a handful were on the Great Lakes, which is pretty great that we got one of a handful. You know, a lot of them are on the oceanic coasts and are even bigger lifts than this. But this funding source does sort of have a cycle. So we're in the step two of this cycle of beginning the engineering. They have another step that is finalizing the engineering and then construction. So kind of getting in that pipeline is a great sign that, you know, we're on the right track, and it's we can see that roadmap to getting where we need to go. Not to mention that with all of the federal investment in the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act, there's so much money that's going to come out through various channels of the federal government to do a whole variety of things. And this coastal resilience and addressing the effects of climate change are sort of one key provision of some of these things. So framing the things that we want to do in our cities and on our coasts, addressing the impacts of climate change is really important. And there's a lot of resources that are just starting to sort of come online.
That's really fascinating to me. And it's really an important investment. I mean, you think about our coasts, our coastlines along Lake Michigan, along our Atlantic and Pacific coastlines.
It's a lot of coast. And even just thinking about Milwaukee, our wastewater treatment plant is down there, you know, at a very low elevation. And that's really critical from infrastructure. If something were to fail there or it was flooded out, the impacts on water quality in Lake Michigan would be enormous. So we really need to protect that in that kind of vulnerable spot right in our harbor.
So it's kind of like part of the relationship between this project and the city of Milwaukee resilience when it comes to climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, Aaron Zaleski, our guest, questions or comments for him as we move along. I hope you'll join in. The number to call 800-642-1234, or you could email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org. Cindy in Ashwaubenon emailed, wants to know about your background and how you got interested in this line of work and why it matters so much to you.
Yeah. Well, I got into this line of work kind of non-traditionally. I was kind of a do-gooder in my 20s and did some volunteer work and then went back to grad school to study nonprofit management. I didn't have a background in environmental work at all, but through a fellowship I had in grad school, placed grad students out in the community working at nonprofits. And I was placed kind of doing some project management of a project at the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, and just kind of reconnected with nature. I had grown up in the country, and so that was a big part of my life as a kid, but not really as an adult. And so really fell into that kind of by happenstance, and have been doing urban conservation work for about 12 years since then in Milwaukee and at a couple different nonprofits, and really just happened into a perfect niche for me.
it's amazing how stuff like that happens, huh? Isn't it?
Yeah. I never would have predicted it.
And there, I wanted to talk also about the Harbor District itself. Tell us more about that, your nonprofit.
Sure. We're a small nonprofit. We're very community-based, and we got started about 10 years ago, kind of looking at this part of the city between the Third Ward and Bayview didn't really have much of a neighborhood identity at that point. It's very industrial. And it was, people got together and said, this place is going to redevelop next. This is going to happen next. And without a good plan for that, it might not be the best that it could be. So we want to see, and are actually actively advocating with the city, working with developers and private property owners to have a redevelopment that includes the people who are already living nearby, that includes environmental goals, improves public access, and does also support a healthy business community along with that. So incorporating all of those goals together. Our biggest kind of accomplishment and initiative so far has been extending Milwaukee's Riverwalk system down into the harbor before it kind of stopped in the Third Ward south of downtown. And because of the industrial land use in this part of the city historically, there was hardly any places that people could get to the waterfront, which in this part of the city is the Kinnickinnick River and the Inner Harbor. So we worked with the city to put the legal framework in place so that when someone develops a property, they have to put public access on the waterfront. Just they must. And the city matches 70% of the costs to build that public access, but they have to build it. And that'll, you know, be built out over the next 20 or 30 years, a whole network of new public access on the water. We also have design guidelines so that this public access is not just a giant concrete sidewalk like you have downtown, which is great, and the Fonz is beautiful, but this is going to have trees every, there's a formula for the number of feet of walkway, and so many trees per feet of walkway. I went through lists of plants for landscaping to make sure that they all had to be native plants. Nothing that's not native, so that we can have more butterflies, more pollinators, more birds, all of those sorts of great things. So that's a little bit more about what we do. We also host a lot of events. September 22nd is Harborfest, our annual festival, where we get 4,000 or 5,000 people down there. It's also in concert with Sturgeon Fest for the past couple of years, where you can release a baby sturgeon into the Kinnickinnick River. You got to come check it out, Larry. Are you busy?
Yeah, man. What day is it?
Sunday, September 22nd.
September 22nd. Well, I've got...
24th.
The 24th.
It's Sunday, the 24th. Yep.
Well, you know, I have a daughter who's in Wauwatosa at Wisconsin Lutheran, majoring in marine biology. So that might be an ideal time to...
That's perfect.
Drive down, pick her up, take this all in. What's the size of the Harbor District? Could you tell? I mean, what are the parameters of the Harbor District?
Yeah, it's a couple thousand acres. It's really kind of the waterfront in the Walker's Point area, kind of between, it kind of zigs around a little bit, but between First and Second Street, and then incorporating Jones Island to the east, and then kind of upstream on the Kinnickinnick River. It's a couple of miles up to Chase Avenue. And there's some undeveloped kind of woodlands that are sort of feral down in the southern part that I do some work kind of doing habitat restoration and managing invasives and those sorts of things.
That's really cool. A listener from Milwaukee called. Couldn't stay with us. He's a smelt fisherman, and all the smelt fishing on the shore has disappeared. Are there plans to improve smelt habitat near Jones Island?
Yeah, this is the plan. I know, I am aware that because of some of the area of concern cleanup work that's beginning to happen, that access point where people did a lot of the fishing is closed now because of some work happening. But I know that the Port Milwaukee, and we're all aware of the traditions and that how important that access is to do the smelt fishing. And this project, that will be one of the outcomes is that we're shooting for, is improving smelt habitat.
Trisha in Oshkosh emailed, she works at a local nonprofit in the Oshkosh area, wondering about your insights about grant writing, if you have insights about grant writing, because that is key to pretty much any nonprofit.
I've been doing it for a while and have had a good track record. And the thing I always tell people is that they are giving money away. They want to give it away. They want to give you the money. They want you to have a cool project that meets their goals. And they are telling you exactly what they're looking for. You know, a lot of times there are metrics. They tell you how they're going to score them. That doesn't mean you just answer their questions without being honest about what you're doing just to get a high score. But it's important to align the grant opportunities with what you're doing and also not make up a project just for a grant. So like this was a project that I didn't come up with because of the request for proposals. We had this concept on a shelf in some larger planning efforts that I could pull off and say, oh, this is a fit. Find my partners, build a coalition around this concept, and then get the funding and that coalition I already have to work together towards this vision.
Marty in Green Bay emailed, they may have missed this, but what's the need for breakwaters in the first place? Are they really that big of storms on Lake Michigan?
There are, and they're getting more unpredictable. There was a storm in January of 2020 that caused $2 million to the port infrastructure on Jones Island in one storm that we had to fix, and we had to fix it really quickly because the ships are coming. The cargo is coming. It needs to get out. So we need to fix it. Because of the way that we built our harbors for access for ships, what used to protect sort of the coastal wetland complexes that are mostly all gone is now our city infrastructure. Jones Island 200 years ago was a large sandbar complex. What we call the Harbor District now, most of it was a big marsh with wild rice. And so we've developed all that. So there isn't a lot of places for storm surges to go. And the things that had protected those marshes are now full of really important infrastructure in Milwaukee's case. And in the case of a lot of cities that are built on those estuaries and those river mouths.
So, yeah. So it really is very, very important. I wanted you to maybe get off your part of the Milwaukee Harbor District, your organization, but you have an economic development director, for example. You're the environment director. There's also someone who is a place making director.
Yes. Yeah. That's Nora. What is that all about? Well, that's about creating kind of an identity for this part of the city, which it didn't really have. There weren't public spaces historically people could go to. It was foundries and giant piles of coal for the most part. So a lot of her job, we have our Harbor Fest on September 24th coming up. And we have a series of events in Harborview Plaza, which is a small park that we built to kind of kickstart this sort of public space creation effort. At the end of Greenfield Avenue, it's right outside the UWM Freshwater Sciences Building. That's where Harbor Fest is. And we have a series of events called Summer and La Plaza, which Nora puts together with different community groups. So we'll sort of issue a request for applications for community groups or people to just come and do workshops or events Some of them are like plays or musical events. There's a hip hop chess club that came this year. The DNR's fishing education van or truck was there a bunch of times this summer, kind of getting people out to appreciate the waterfront. So it's building that sort of identity for the place, activating our public spaces that we already have, and really engaging the community in the waterfront.
And the economic development director, that person's role?
That person's role is about connecting the business community to each other, but then also to local residents. There's some newer manufacturing facilities and sort of export facilities, and we would love to see them hire people who live on the near south side right around this area in the nearby neighborhoods. So trying to make that connection is a part of it. Also, you know, kind of working with developers or companies that want to relocate to the Harbor District or are thinking about it, kind of being aware of the real estate opportunities and just being a resource for some of the smaller businesses as well, connecting them with small business resources.
And, you know, I was thinking about this as you were talking, the amount of cruise traffic and tourism.
Yes.
I imagine you guys get involved in that to some extent.
Yeah, we are to some extent. It's something we talk about. How do we really make that sort of front door, this new front door that nobody used to come into? How do we make that engaging and attractive and really striking? And so if you think about making the breakwaters into barrier islands, that's a part of it too, to say like Milwaukee, you know, we say we're the freshwater capital and we're all about water. This would be a really visible sign of doing something that is really kind of groundbreaking and different and new and can set a new standard for how some of these Great Lakes harbors work.
And the going back to an earlier email, I think it was, about the amount of time it takes. What's a timeline for all this, do you think?
For the breakwater specifically?
The eco breakwater, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're doing engineering, this first phase of engineering, for about the next 2 years. And we'll do some more engineering after that for probably another two or three. And then it'll take, you know, we'll be done in 10 years if everything goes smoothly. some of that depends on if we're able to do some of these creative sort of reuse of materials. That would be a potentially a slower trickle of material to build it up. So it could be a longer than that time period, because we'll just see what we can all do and what we can agree to.
Well, I hope it's sooner than later. But it's a great idea, and we can only just kind of mark things as they go along, progress as it goes along, Aaron. And, mm-hmm. And maybe we can get you back to talk about progress down the road. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Aaron Zaleski is the Environment Director at the Milwaukee Harbor District. It's an organization with a goal to revive Milwaukee's waterfront, and they're in the process of an eco breakwater. It's such a great idea and wonderful project, and let's hope it comes as soon as it can. Okay. Oh, thanks again to Aaron. And thanks to you for listening. Tomorrow on the show, we learn how to protect our homes from wildfires, the heat of wildfires, for sure. Plus, we get a PBS Wisconsin Quilt Show update. Maybe you can win a ticket to go to the quilt show. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.